If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. So this teaching is going to be open-ended now. And these are all the things that I've learned over the past 34 years of being in the Lord. These are all the important things that I'm going to talk about. All the things that I've learned that work. All the things that I've learned to avoid. All the things that I've learned to pursue after with everything that I know of. All the things that I think that are the most richest parts of being in the Lord. So you can take from all of these things whatever you want, meditate on them, and this is all the wisdom that I've learnt from God. All the mistakes I've made, all the mistakes that I've done, and all the treasures that I've found that I can pass on to you. These are the things that are cumulative of everything that I know of in the Lord. And we're going to go through them. And we're going to see how far we can take this. It might be 10, 20, 5, I don't know how many files, MP3 files. But we'll just keep going until we get to what I think the end is, or the Lord says move to another thing. But when I came to the Lord in 1984, a brother came to me and he said, if you want to stay in the Lord and you want to be successful, if you want to be ahead of the curve, you need to have and develop a prayer life, a good, solid prayer life. And so he got me praying for an hour and a half every day. And I did that for a whole year. And I probably prayed for 2 hours every day, because I'd pray for an hour and a half solid, and then maybe half an hour or even 45 minutes here and there, and you know, as I'm walking down the street or driving the car or whatever. So at least an hour and a half every day, and quite possibly 2 hours a day. But that gave me understanding and kept my heart in the things of God. When I saw my brothers and sisters all stumbling around, some of them were really on fire, but some were stumbling around and they were having trouble just keeping up with everything. And I found that the thing that stopped them was they weren't taught to pray. They were taught to come to meetings. They were taught to go to outreaches. They were taught to be obedient to the church and the fellowship and the oversight. They were taught how to explain to people the gospel message. They were taught how to keep their life well, that they had to be holy and righteous, and they had to, you know, not do the things of the earth, of the world. So, but I was taught that I don't have to do any of that stuff. All I need to do was pray, and the Holy Spirit would transform me so that I would just do it. Without even being taught, I would know it, because it would be inside my spirit. It would become part of who I am. It would be my nature. It wouldn't be a learned nature from outside, from other people teaching me, but it would be a spirit learned new nature. And that's what I was taught. So I put a lot of my eggs in the basket of praying and seeking God, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, understanding the whole thing of God, right back from Genesis right through to Revelations, understanding where everything fits, how everything relates, so that I can understand the big picture and also walk in real time, in the moment, in the spirit. That was my strategy. So my strategy was to understand the Bible, not to listen to what everybody else said, but to actually back it up by looking in the scriptures myself. And then also to have myself transformed dynamically by the Holy Spirit, by praying in tongues. So I did that. I did that for 25 years, and I had lots of trouble with people who just wanted to just park in the Lord. They just wanted to just Well, I suppose Park, all they wanted to do was do nothing, just turn up to meetings, sing the songs, be a part of a social network group that was good. They prayed a bit. They wanted to live a Christian life, but they didn't want to press towards the mark of the higher calling. They didn't really want to really pick their cross up and walk daily. They tried. They made a bit of a go of it, but they were just normal Christians. So it was very hard because I wanted to go the other side. I wanted to go forward. So I had to walk a fine line between going after God and consuming my life in God and also serving my brothers and sisters and helping the weak. That was a difficult juggling act. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And really, that's really the theme that I'm really wanting to do in my life is knowledge. I have knowledge of God. I understand a lot of the kingdom of God and how it works. We'll never, ever, ever reach the end of knowledge concerning the kingdom of God. Nobody can ever say they know it all. It's just unending. It would take you hundreds of lifetimes of study to even scratch the surface. But what I know of the kingdom of God, I try to apply, and I try not to think that any of it is myself. The only thing I can be proud of, I suppose, be proud of, is that I say yes to God. Is that when He asks me to do something or He speaks to me, I try to respond in a positive action. That's the only thing I can probably say that I've done is that I've tried to not always, but I've tried to give it a good shot. Is to say Your will, not mine, and to pray and to know the kingdom of God and how it functions, so that my will be His will. So there'll be no conflict of interests. So even the Bible says that He gives you the will to say yes. And how do you do that? By being transformed by the Holy Spirit. So even being transformed by the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to say yes. And the more you're transformed, the more you say yes. So it's a win-win situation. The only problem people have in saying yes is when they're not being led by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is weak in their life. Then you'd be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the key. So that's my strategy. So my strategy is authentic Christianity, following God authentically in every way I can, relating to my brothers and sisters authentically, and not being religious, not being over the top one way or underdone. So I'm trying to get it right. And that is the whole quest of my whole life. Everything that consumes me is this thing. That's basically what I am totally in thought about, is about God and how can I serve Him the best way I can. What's the most appropriate, the most beneficial and successful way to follow God, to serve Him, and to serve my brothers and sisters through Him. That's my greatest quest. That's all that consumes me. That's all that my mind is meditating continually on, is how to serve my brothers and sisters. But first, how do I serve God? How do I get it right first? How do I get His parameters right? How do I get His ways right first? Then I can successfully serve my brothers and sisters. And then after that, serving the world, getting them saved. You know, I've tried to get everything in right perspective. The first thing that I've learned is God first, man second. And if you put God first, you will be able to serve man successfully. So that's my quest, and that's what my whole thought pattern is about. Is about how can I successfully serve God? And I've thought over and over and over again. I've meditated on this for hundreds, maybe thousands of hours about how can I effectively serve God. I recalculate and recalculate and recalculate. And the way I can simply say is be led by the Holy Spirit. That's it. So people will ask me, because they see miracles, healings, they see lots of success, we pray for them and the power of God goes over them and they get on fire and they have a vision then, and they start being able to see the things of God in their life starting to come to pass, and they're excited. People hear about us before they've made their journey into the things of God. I mean, these are spirit-filled people, but they're just parked. And people can be parked for 101 different reasons. Maybe bad teaching. Maybe they've been unsuccessful in finding God appropriately. They've been unsuccessful in interpreting the scriptures. They've been hamstrung by their life and the situation and what's been dealt to them in life. All of these things. Whatever it is, we lay hands on them and God moves into their life. A lot of the stuff, the log jam, breaks open and the river starts flowing. So they say to me, so what's the success? How do you do this? How do you and Donna do this? And it's so simple and easy. It just flows out of you. And I simply say to them, my greatest answer to all of that is get full of God. That's it. And they think, well, that's too simple. You know, what about all the... I mean, because people ask me lots of curly questions, scriptural curly questions, and about functionality, and how does God do this, and how does healing work, and how does faith operate, and how do you make faith work better, and all of these things, and how do you get away from unbelief, and how do you actually pray for people to get healed successfully, and all of these things they ask me, and how do you enter into the presence of God successfully, and all of these things. I said, well, I know these things, but, you know, the most important thing is get full of God. And the way you get full of God is basically just walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, and do what the Spirit tells you. That's basically it. It's pretty simple. Be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. First, know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, they say they're led by the Holy Spirit. They get up in the morning and they say, Holy Spirit, which shirt shall I wear today? Might be a bit over the top, I think. I get up and I just wear a shirt. I think I pick the one that I like. And because my mind is infused with God, with the mind of Christ, you know, I don't wear shirts with slogans on them that are anti-God or anti-truth. And that would be the influence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't wear clothes that are inappropriate because that would be the influence of the Spirit in my life. You know, so everything I do is basically led by the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I think it's me, but it's the Holy Spirit and me, because we're infused together and we're walking together and I'm not being led of the flesh. Here's an interesting thing of the flesh. The flesh has input into your life. And there's nothing wrong with eating ice cream. There's nothing wrong with eating ice cream and jelly. Ice cream and red jelly is really good. You know, but there are things of the flesh that lead you into ungodliness. So you need to be concerned and vigilant about where the flesh leads you. So, you know, the best way to maintain that is to be full of the Spirit. And then you may have to fast. That puts the flesh down. That tells the flesh you're in control. So you're not led by the appetites of the flesh. You're led by the Spirit. Now we need to eat, and we need to, you know, shower, and we need to sleep, and we need to rest, and all of these things, and we need to have through the flesh we have pleasure. So we have joy through our soul, but pleasure through the flesh, which is interesting, Because there's a scripture in Psalms that says, in the presence of God is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. That would be my most favorite scripture in the whole of the Bible. So we'll have a look at it. It's in Psalm 16 and verse 11. It's actually the last part of 11. It says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, a Psalm of David, 27, Psalm 27. It says, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? But he also says in verse 4, one thing have I desired. So this is one thing that David has desired. So David's done all this stuff. He's king. He's seen all this stuff, and he's lived and experienced all this stuff. He's seen the Ark of the Covenant. He's brought it back, and he's set up a worship system. And anyway, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. So this one thing that he, out of all of that, has desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. So, you know, that's all I want to do. What do I desire of the Lord? One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. To inquire, to ask questions of his temple, of where he dwells, of his home, his abode. And that's all I desire, is just to be in the house of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord, or in his presence, right? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. That's the one thing that David desired. That's all he was happy about. That's all he wanted. And then it says in Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the paths of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. These things are important. In Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So in the presence of God is fullness of joy. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in the presence of God is where I like to dwell. In the presence of God, to have God's presence over me, to have his love over me. And I have chased that for about 7 or 8 years, the presence of God, so that I might inquire of him and his temple, what do you want done? This is a holy place. How do you want me to act? How do you want me to proceed in this life? What is my function? Is my function to be out witnessing to everybody all day and all night, get as many people in? Or is my function to stay with you? And then we'll work together. We'll go forth, and the Lord will work with them, and he will confirm the word with signs following. That's my strategy. So my strategy is not to go out without any thought or any direction, just to go out and speak to as many people as I can, operate in as many opportunities as I can. No, My strategy is the opposite. My strategy is to sit down and to seek God, get full of Him, and say to Him, equip me, and then send me out. Equip me with power from on high, and then send me out. Jesus said to His disciples, go to Jerusalem, sit down, and wait for me to equip you. And then I will direct you, I will send you out, filled with my Spirit, directed by my Spirit, and the things that you do will not be wasted. You won't walk in dead works. You will walk in live, dynamic works, that wherever I am, you are, and we work together, and there's life in them. That's been my whole strategy, is to get full of God, and then be led by Him. Not just go out and then hope it's a lucky dip, hit and miss thing, whatever. It's not a bit, I don't want to waste my time going up dead alleys. I don't want to be wasting my time going to places where people don't want to hear. Now you might say, but everybody needs to hear. That's true. And the word of God is going out. Nobody in Australia or America can say they've never heard of Jesus Christ, except for maybe some Muslim who's locked up in a room and never ever speaks to anybody, you know, but most people have heard of Jesus Christ. Most people have access to the internet. Most people can find out about who is Jesus Christ. They can inquire themselves, and most people has had somebody speak to them in some way about Jesus, in some way, even the smallest way. So they've had the opportunity. They're not living in a vacuum. So what I'm trying to do is, and I spent 25 years knocking on thousands and thousands of doors and out on the street, you know, for 7 years in South Australia, out on the in the town, singing guitars and playing guitars and singing and handing out pamphlets. So I've done the 25 years of that, and now I've done the 7 or so or 8 years of this, of seeking God, praying in tongues for hours, and meditating on the Word, listening to the Lord, being led, and I have operated in a higher level of the kingdom of God. It's been a hit situation. Whereas the old way was hit, miss, hit, miss, hit, miss, hit. And depending on who you are, a little bit more hits than misses. But mostly misses and a little bit of hits. Okay, so you strike it lucky. You bring someone to the Lord. And we brought about, about 30 or 40 people. I can't remember now. How many people we brought to the Lord over the 25 years? We were really successful. But this past 8-9 years, I've been teaching people this is the way to go. This is the most productive way to preach the gospel. This is the way that you can get your bang for the buck, is that you sit down and pray in tongues and get full of God, and then go out in the power of His might, and then let Him organize your appointments with individuals who actually He has pointed out. Okay, and then you get a hit time. And God turns up with power. He turns up with the goods that gets their attention. Turns up with the healing. Turns up with the revelation that gets their attention. And that they know that you are of God. They know that God is with you, because you speak into their lives the things that nobody knows except God. Instead of having an academic relationship with them and trying to, you know, talk to them through well-thought-out arguments, biblical arguments, and we do. We have great, well-thought-out biblical arguments. But the thing that trumps everything is speaking into their heart where no man has ever seen except for God, and they know that God is with you. And they give credence to you. They listen to you. They give you authority to speak into their lives because, number one, they know it's coming from God. Now, God doesn't send me to many people who don't want to know Him, so I don't ever get rejected anymore. It's amazing the amount of rejection we get by knocking on doors and handing out pamphlets on the street. But now I get nearly zero rejection. That's amazing. Once I understood and found and figured out this way, this new living dynamic way, which started in Acts, the book of Acts, right, and continued on, but you know, people stepped out of it and into a religious form, and then every now and then people moved back into it, and we have historical accounts of people who actually walked in the things of God. And we look at it as amazing because it's not the norm. Because most people, I think they're hardwired for religion. Unless they're led by the Holy Spirit, they just slow down and turn into religious thinking people. It's like momentum. You just can't keep the momentum up. But it just, all cars, all balls, all wheels just roll to a stop. Unless you do something to bring the momentum back. And praying in tongues, right, reading the Bible and being inspired by the Holy Spirit helps the momentum go. So, you know, that's basically the prelude, I suppose, that's what you call it, to this sort of series of talks that I want to talk about. I want to address everything that I can think of to help you be successful. And we're going to speak about things like unbelief again. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about healings and how healings work. We're going to talk about the interaction between light and darkness. We're going to talk about how to live prosperously. Prosperously. We're going to talk about being blessed and living a blessed life. Now, there is persecution. When the more you live in the things of God, you will suffer persecution from ungodly people. But God has promised to keep us and help us and to protect us and give us a way out. So, you know, persecution is part of the deal, unfortunately, because we live in a fallen world. But we are lights in a fallen world. We are the lights on a hill. We are those who are to demonstrate how a person can live successfully, and it's generated by the kingdom of God. The power source that we use is the power of the kingdom of God, and it comes in a thousand different ways. It's through the Holy Spirit, but it had manifests in a thousand different ways. People can get healed from being sick. People who have broken genetic traits, they can be reconstructed. Those who are poor can be blessed, and they can have financial success. Those who are miserable or sad, their broken hearts can be mended. Those who live in oppression and all sorts of things, they can walk in freedom. Now, these are all just nice words, but they actually work. I've found them to work. I know how to make them work because all I did, I just simply got full of God and did what the Bible said. That's it. You know, everything I teach to people is nothing out. It's not out of somewhere else. It's out of the Bible. There's only a couple of things I do. I just read the Bible, do what the Bible says, and I'm led by the power source of the kingdom of God, by the Holy Spirit. That's it. And I'm obedient, or I try to be obedient to those things. I try to be obedient to the Word of God, and I try to be obedient to the leading of the Spirit. And that has helped me be very successful. So I pass it on to other people. Now, you might think, oh, that's a simple formula. Why do people have trouble, you know, enacting that formula? Well, it's because that formula can only be successful if you are energized by the Spirit. All the head knowledge in the world isn't going to get you very far. You need a couple of things. You need head knowledge of the Bible. You need biblical understanding. And then you need the power source to drive and enact that understanding, to make that understanding happen, because you can't do it on your own strength. And you need guidance. You know, and you need to be able to put your hand to things that are full of life and not dead-end streets. The Bible talks about in Hebrews, repentance from dead works. That's works or any action that has no life in it. Okay? And, you know, it says in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. Okay? Not dead works, the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I'm a pleasure seeker. I seek the pleasures of God. I seek his approval. I seek Him and His presence. I seek His pleasure. You know, we can go into that a little bit more. We haven't got time now to speak about the pleasure of God, but the Bible says they seek the pleasures of this world rather than the pleasures of God. We need to be pleasure seekers in a positive sense. We need to immerse ourselves in God's love and His presence. And that is pleasure forevermore. You know, the presence of God trumps everything that I can think of doing in this world that brings physical pleasure. It actually brings physical pleasure is being in the presence of God. Physical pleasure. I'm at the highest degree, physical pleasure. Whatever pleasure you could think of in this world, the presence and the pleasure of God that God brings from His presence and from Him is far greater than anything I've ever experienced in this world. And I live in the presence of God, and His pleasure, His physical pleasure, the Spirit overwhelms my physical senses and brings pleasure, great pleasure, liquid love. I could tell you about this liquid love. You know, we'd lay in a bath maybe, a nice hot bath to ease our poor old weary bodies. With bath salts, I suppose. I don't really like that much at all. The pleasure of God, it's like being in a big bath of great pleasure, and then there's joy, for it's just joy. Fullness of joy. So you can imagine fullness of joy. That's your emotional response. Fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. And that word evermore means eternal. Means it doesn't run out. You know, if you eat ice cream and red jelly, you can only eat so much and you get full. Even though you may want to eat more, you can't put it in. You feel sick, you eat too much. There's a limit. But I've tried to exhaust the pleasurable limits of God, and I can't. That brings great joy. So that's what I pursue. I pursue, in my time, the fullness of joy and the pleasure of God forevermore. I'm a pleasure seeker, and I dwell in His presence, and I'm full of happiness and joy and peace. Then when I walk out on the street, I don't have to look for anybody, because I've done the most important thing that anybody could do. I love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. And then He helps me love people in the world or in the body of Christ by sending me to those who need to be ministered to. And then He flows out of me, through me, into them and transforms their life. It's just a good way of going. I like it much better than the other way. The other way was hit and miss, more misses than hits. This time, it's lots and lots and lots and lots of hits. So this is what we're going to discuss now. So in closing, the Bible says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, talking about idols and all of those things, but it says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So knowledge of things and the operation of things, you can say, look at me, aren't I wonderful? I know lots of stuff. I'm so wise. I'm so marvelous. But knowledge, in its true sense, should be used, or its true purpose, should be used not to puff you up, but to serve your brothers and sisters, to edify them, to speak words of edification, exaltation, and comfort. Not about yourself and how wonderful you are, but how you can serve your brothers and sisters. So knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And that's what Paul said. He said, I'd rather speak 5 words of English and 10,000 words of tongues, that I may edify the church. Speaking in tongues is for yourself. It edifies you. It builds you up. Lifts you up, it strengthens you. But when you speak English of the knowledge that God has given to you through praying in tongues, you edify everybody else, and that is more important. So the speaking in tongues is important because you get the knowledge, but you use it for its intended purpose, and that's to edify everybody else, to be a servant, to serve other people. That's what you're supposed to be. It's not about you sitting down and getting full of God and understanding all the things of God and then just keeping it to myself, right? No, the second thing is to love other people. And the way that you love other people is you serve their needs. You serve their brokenness. You serve their what they need in this life. You help provide through a spiritual platform and a natural platform. And you build them up and you show them how to actually go to God and get the stuff themselves. Because that's more important than just meeting their needs. Meeting their needs is great, but showing them how they can go and get their needs met by God successfully, right, is the most gratifying thing. Seeing people get their victories floats my boat. Seeing people's eyes light up and say, "You mean I can have all the promises that I've read in the Bible, and they're for me, and I can actually go and get them." And they have faith and understanding to go and get them. So what they do, they sit down, they start praying in tongues, they get full of God, and then they start doing the stuff. They start walking in the presence of God, and the fullness of joy happens. And then they start feeling the pleasure or the love of God, the liquid love, the glory of God, and they dwell in that, and they become eternal beings. They walk in the spiritual realm, and then they become servants of God themselves. And with the knowledge that they get, they don't puff themselves up and say, "Look at me." No, they work at edifying. They speak exhortation, edification, and comfort unto the church. And that they become true servants of the Most High God. And they set for themselves the promises, they enact them in their life, and as they move, they have a reward set in heaven for them because they have served their brothers and sisters. Just like Jesus said, "Unless you serve each other, you can't be my disciples." So it's about getting the stuff first, then serving. You can't serve without the stuff, or it's just words, theories, ideas, and hopeful nice sayings. But you need to get the stuff, and then you need to serve. They went to Jerusalem and they waited for the stuff, and then they served and they acted successfully and they continued to serve. Okay, so we'll leave that there. So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.